Jason, have you watched Yellowstone at all?
Uh-uh.
Okay, first of all, server, have you watched Yellowstone?
Nah, I keep getting told to.
Dude, it is such trash. It is so good. It is like masquerading as prestige TV. The intro's all glossy and has this like like Game of Thrones meets Gunsmoke kind of music, and everything's really expensive and shot, you know, on film stock, and it's gorgeous, and
right.
They obviously spend the earth on scenery and location shooting, and there's actual credited actors in this, like stage people. Anyway, it's basically a fucking telenovela. In the first four episodes, like 8 people die, like 4 of them accidentally, and 2 of them are just like, hey, could you go kill that guy for us? And like, they just slaughter him, and nobody's like, hey, where's Rick? It's like, oh, Tuesday, guess Rick didn't come into work. At one point in the series, a bomb is set on a plane and nobody ever addresses it. Like, there's just a bomb on a plane 2 seasons later and nobody's ever figured out what happened to it. It's produced by adults and it's written by a hyperactive 12-year-old boy who thinks you can get shot like twice a week and be fine. Like, there's a character who just...
So when did you start writing it, Spencer?
6 weeks ago.
Great work.
When is this set?
It's going great. The present. It's set in the present, okay. Jason. There's a dude who straight up, like, gets shot twice at close range, like point-blank range, and then absolutely beats the fuck out of the guy who shot him twice at point-blank range,
okay.
Does the mountain thing and thumbs, like, the dude's eyes out,
yeah.
Right? You know, which is definitely an easy way to kill somebody.
That's got to be disproportionately the kill method that appears in movies and shows more disproportionately than any other compared to real life, right?
Well, in real life, like, if you did that, the person would be like, ow, you've blinded me. It wouldn't kill you, right?
Like, it would send them into, like, a violent, desperate fucking rage. Like...
Yeah. In other movies...
Go to sleep.
Yeah, like, in movies and shows, they act like that's the off button for a human, right? Just press their... Hold for 10 seconds and they'll reset, you know, they'll do a hard reset. But anyway, and he gets shot twice. And then afterwards he's like, oh, are you okay? You know, to the lady who was being attacked. He's like, you okay? Okay, good. Hey, you should call a doctor. And he holds his side like he just ran too hard.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay. 2 episodes later, dude's like sprinting in jeans and boots. He's fine. Which would only make sense, but the woman suffers grievous injuries that last, like, until the next season. Like, they do makeup and shit, but Rip Wheeler's like, that's cool, you need me to kill somebody again? My Wednesday's open.
So I'm hearing a lot of no-selling.
There's a lot of no-selling. Rip Wheeler could no-sell God. God would be like cancer, and he'd be like, wah! No!
So we got an Undertaker on this show.
He is absolutely an Undertaker. Also, everyone talks in wrestling. Like, everybody walks in promoing. Like, there's no small talk on this show. Somebody walks in and they're like, let me tell you what, Bret Hart! You know, like, it's instantaneous. So, that was not what I wanted to talk about. The scene I wanted to talk about that was the funniest shit I have seen on TV in a long time is they start off one scene by having a livestock cop find 2 guys who beat up a girl trying to steal the trailer. Like, it's a horse and it's a trailer, right? And they beat her up. Like, they hit her in the face. Oh, you hit a lady in the face. These 2 dudes are in for it bad. So the cops are like, yeah, we'll take him to the station. 1 second. And they put him in the horse trailer. And this guy is given like a happy scene where it's like, woo, I got these cattle thieves in the back of the horse trailer and I'm doing the jackass on roller skates thing, right? Like, he's stopping, he's starting, he's winging them around, and they're like flying all over the back, and they're playing like festive banjo, like, like total, like, oh hey, festive fun with bad guys kind of music. And then they have this triumphant wing back into the rodeo where he steers the truck and the horse trailer back in, and it's like, all right boys, enough fun, I think we need to take these guys into the station. And he opens the door and the music fucking stops, and there's 2 corpses, eyes open, dead as hell, blood everywhere, like he's totally fucking slaughtered these 2 guys. He's like, oh no. And I laughed for like 10 minutes straight because the show does this very stupid thing where they're like, we are with the fun guy, it's totally fun. Corpses, sorry, he's an idiot. Do we mean to tell you he's an idiot and he just killed 2 guys who you'll never ask about again? Good job. Oh,
livestock great cop.
Live, yes.
That's a
which
thing.
In Montana, apparently, if you put on livestock police or whatever, you can just shoot anyone. You can just roll up and like gun down civilians. It's fine.
Why would a regular cop not be able to handle livestock crimes? It's just like special training.
You don't understand. You might understand the streets, but you don't understand the pastures, brother.
You don't speak cow.
You don't speak cow.
I got sources on the inside. I'm deep undercover.
I was undercover for years. Part of me still is.
Sorry, I went so undercover, I thought I was a cow.
The way they describe this law enforcement agency, too, is like the badges are just transferable between people. Like at one point, the dad just hands a badge over to his son. And he's like, take this.
Huh. Like the badge itself is imbued like Thor's hammer.
Mm-hmm. My parents are not the type to like sit here and watch Clint Eastwood and be like, ah, this is how things should be. So they told me to watch this show. And I thought it would be like brooding into the sunsets. And in the first three episodes, in each of the first three episodes, the youngest son of Kevin Costner commits an unplanned murder. And I'm like, does this go on? Is this just if this was the premise every week of the show, I think I would like it a lot more. But like in the first three episodes, by the end of the third hour, he's killed three people. None of it was premeditated, right? He just found himself in situations where he had to kill somebody. And
he's like, it's kind of dipshit Dexter.
It's almost like a sitcom of like, oh, here's another body. Like, what if the Dukes of Hazzard had like a TV MA rating?
Yeah, like imagine, you know, they would always
y'all have
they would
to watch this show. It's the weirdest fucking thing I've
you know,
ever
they'd always
seen.
Freeze frame it. Waylon Jennings, you know, would be like, well, these Duke boys
how are they
going
to get out of this barrel of syrup? There's two right. corpses in the back of a horse
right.
trail.
The freeze frame is somebody dropping someone off a cliff and it stops halfway and it's like, well, looks like the Buttons got themselves in another pickle.
So maybe this show is like the Dukes who are themselves hazards.
Mm-hmm. the Hazard Dukes, yeah.
The Dukes is hazards. Mm. Yeah. That is 100% what the show is.
They have given, this is a truly revolutionary thing, although I'm very glad to be separated from the discourse because everything I've ever seen written about this show has been like, oh, a searing look at the American West. And now that I'm in this, I'm like, y'all, this Chris Driver, Jerkwheat calls this show Unplanned Ranch Murder. And I think that's pretty much that really does cover it. And everyone's like, oh, why aren't you talking about Yellowstone? And I'm like, all of y'all have been pretending you're watching Prestige Cable and you're just watching Ranch Murder of the Week. And I love this.
There was a scene last night between an especially violent lady and a dude.
Now, we have to talk about this is important to say who this is because they have given the role of, like, you know, that one, everybody get that in these shows. Everybody's got that one sibling who's just uncountably violent and contains like hidden depths of violent rage, like the James Caan and the Godfather thing. It's a girl in this show.
Candace
it's the
Campbell.
Daughter.
Well, it's about
daughter.
Time. It's about
yeah,
time.
It's the daughter who just commits nonstop acts of violent terrorism on people.
Good for her.
Oh, it's great. It's Kelly Riley too, who I love.
But last night,
anyway,
the show in a nutshell was this girl going, nobody's at the ranch. We should have sex in the middle of this rodeo ring. And the guy goes, maybe later, but right now we need to dance, little lady. And he's like, music starts playing.
And he just wants romance. And she's like, no, fuck me in the dirt.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, maybe later, but first I need a little warm up.
Hey, man, yeah. They got through the scene without anybody getting murdered. That's the start. It sounds like this show is like Walker, Texas
Ranger.
The
ranch is empty because everybody else is out murdering. I'm not kidding. Okay. The ranch is only empty because the grandson of one of the other kids, the son of the kid who commits all the murder, so Kevin Costner's grandson, was kidnapped by a Montana militia. And so all of the ranch hands are on some kind of recon mission to get the kid back. And in the course of doing that, they kill six people. So...
It sounds like
the show is great.
Walker, Texas Ranger mixed with Far Cry with a budget.
Yeah.
Big budget.
Yeah, big.
Massive budget.
Big
like,
budget.
Like, and the budget sounds unnecessary.
mm-hmm.
The only character.
Oh, sorry, I forgot to tell you, because you haven't seen the episode after they kill the guys in the horse trailer. The next episode after that opens with the agent who did the killing of the guys in the horse trailer being furious that he is in jail.
The only logical character in the whole show is the guy who, when they are shooting people randomly at a survivalist camp, they ask him a question like, where's the boy? And he just shoots himself. Just like, just, hey.
Everybody's so dramatic.
It's great.
But they find the cult leader and they're like, where's the boy? And he's like, I know where he is.
To the Shutdown Full Cast.
Dog, you are listening. Dog is confused and alarmed by the noises coming out of
the
your body.
To the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. Joining me, as always, my co-hosts to my right in Atlanta, Georgia, Holly Anderson.
Now to your immediate right is the dog.
There is a dog sitting on this couch in between us. That is Betty. Jason Kirk in beautiful Kennesaw, Georgia, here again with the light of Magic Hour behind him, lighting him as if he were a character from Yellowstone itself. Hello, Jason.
Hello. Howdy. Is that how they talk?
We know he's not on Yellowstone because he's not, as far as
I'm alive,
tell, murdering someone.
Hiding from livestock
at
cops.
The time. Y'all lied to us about this being a prestige show, unless this is just, is this what Breaking Bad was like?
Breaking Bad was kind of like, Breaking Bad would occasionally do really art, like what Yellowstone doesn't do anything patently weird, overtly weird. Breaking Bad would do overtly weird things to let you know you are watching quote art unquote.
So this is one more to add to our list of if Breaking Bad was good.
We disagree on this, but I'll
no, it's fine. Claws and Yellowstone.
No other show featured Bryan Cranston throwing a pizza on a roof in a fit of anger, so I'm just going to go ahead and point that out as a resume point.
Oh, God.
Jason.
She just could chew on you now.
Did you see Stetson Bennett's I'm the King Kong of this shit moment after Georgia won the national title?
No, okay. I was spending 7 minutes walking across all of Indianapolis, so I missed it at the time.
It's done. You missed Stetson Bennett when they asked him about being an underdog. Stetson Bennett basically post-game said, I'm here. I'm obviously the best. Which, good for him. I just like that in that moment, Georgia's 5'9", 5'10 quarterback who weighs 120 pounds and who somehow managed to hold on to the starting job when given the mic immediately went full heel. Immediately went, how dare you? This is my belt. Y'all come get it. This was Stetson Bennett's big moment. I'm just glad that he decided to completely depart reality, admit nothing, and be like, yeah, I'm better than Bryce Young. Yeah, I'm better than anyone you got.
I can't grow facial hair. But I'm better than Bryce Young.
I can't grow a pencil-thin mustache. I can't throw for 5,000 yards. But I'm better. Because I'm here. Don't look at the other people on this team. It's just me. Me. I'm the best quarterback. It's a team sport. But me. I appreciated that.
Bless his heart.
Yeah. What a place in Georgia's quarterback lineage. Like, all the guys they've had who have, like, set records and shit. SEC records and so on and so forth. They still have all-time completions king Grayson Lambert, the number of five stars they've recruited, who've transferred elsewhere typically, who've transferred in and then immediately transferred out without playing. Like, what a list. What a freaking list. The ones they should have grabbed. The ones they should have been able to sign. And this is the guy.
I wish he'd gotten up there and been like, this is for Joe Cox.
This is for Joe Cox. This is for Grayson Lambert.
This is for Eric Zier. This is for Joe Tereshinski.
Oh,
what was the name?
All of them.
Bauta.
No. Oh, Peyton Bauta. This is
Yeah,
for, you know what? I got it. I got it, y'all. This is for Logan Gray.
This is for Fair Catch and Logan Gray.
Get ready to hear Fair Catch by Logan Gray, because all my rowdy friends are here for G-Day.
Yo, this is for Matthew Stafford.
I hadn't thought about this until this moment. How steamed is Mark Richt? I know Mark Richt doesn't get mad. Unless it's Todd Grantham. But how mad is Mark Richt, like, looking at this screen and being like, fucking really?
Who did it?
had Aaron Murray throwing for 4,000 yards, and yet this is what gets it done.
Not that Mark Richt would ever say the F word either, and I apologize for even implying that. I feel bad.
This for DJ Shackle, y'all.
Fellowship is an F word.
That is true.
It is.
Fitness.
Fortitude.
Fiber.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Not that this needs reinforcing at this point, but lest you ever doubt the levels of derision that Todd Grantham inspires even in his closest colleagues, never forget that Mark Richt called him a dumbass on television.
Hey, I'm just optimistic because one program got rid of Todd Grantham, and several years later won a national title. We've done the same. So there's a possibility we could have a trend of two.
A lot of programs have gotten rid of Todd Grantham over the years.
a lot of titles to be won.
Ryan had another theory related to why this was finally George's year. Ryan's theory was that while SB Nation was covering college football for so many years, and that getting rid of all of us was erasing a binding rune, and all of George's title hopes were, as he put it, in a Ghostbusters containment unit.
Yeah.
And when they removed all of, we were the ones preventing it because we all stood in front of the door. And now George's title hopes are lumbering around town like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Well, I still subscribe mostly to the Alex Kirshner theory that, you know, it's just cool to see a blue state beating Alabama for football titles. You know, that's just cool. Yeah, it's just cool to see leftists. A truly national sport that unites America. You know, you have a baby blue state with, you know, just a radical Antifa communist socialist state like Georgia able to win in such a traditionally deep South red state sport.
I personally love to see it.
I mean, a big red team with a stunning ground attack. Mm-hmm. Not much in terms of advanced technology, and just a deep depth chart all the way around that really can, you know, at every single point, it's a no name, you know, not that it's a no name defense. We know the names on the defense, but everybody contributes, right? We spread the tackles around. There's not one person you can zero in on. Sounds like the Red Army to me. Right. By the way, that's the champion. That's the championship Red Army that won World War II. We'll just go ahead and point that out. Dog fans, get on that revisionist. Get off that revisionist shit. Get on with the realness, right? That's right. That time you got arrested for DWI in St. Simons, that was your personal Stalingrad. There we go. And just like Stalingrad, you won, but at a great cost, about $14,000, including attorney's fees.
And now look at you.
And now look at you, champions.
Jason, what was the title game experience like? Apart from being the only neutral partisan in a sea of fans,
it was cool. It was fun. I guess for the listeners who weren't on our space immediately after the game, I was in the Twitter suite, with some former athletes and some ESPN folks and some people from other parts of the internet that I'm like, oh, that's a different part of the internet, like TikTok people and whatever. And it was 90-something% Georgia fans. There was Blake Sims in there who was holding down for Alabama, talking a lot of shit for Alabama, and good for him. And he was one I mentioned elsewhere that Bama fans walking out were just fuck it, see you in LA next year. And Blake Sims, as things started to go south, there was no point when he was like, oh man, this is bad, we're gonna lose. It was very much just shrug.
We're on we'll to be Pasadena.
I'm pretty sure I heard at least one Bama fan say, not bad for a rebuilding year. But yeah, and then at some point there was a video of like we're in front of the wall of Georgia fans. We were the Spike Squad was like within shouting distance of us. Several media folks who you can see in the front of the suite who are Georgia fans going crazy, and like there's me wearing blue, only person in the whole stadium wearing blue, and I'm just like, this is a high quality football game. I have no no attachment whatsoever to the outcome, but I appreciate that many people do. And like, yeah. So briefly went like mildly viral for being like uninvested, unbothered guy. But like it was cool. It was cool. Shout out Twitter. After all those posts, thank you to Twitter for acknowledging my posting, I guess.
In the middle of all this, and I guess he was out being a person or living a life. We got a message from producer Doug who had screen capped it, and he was like, "Is that Jason?" Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I like it when and then enjoyed says, the incredibly efficient walk through Indianapolis, as we discussed in our space. Indianapolis, a marvel of engineering, of human achievement. The America's place where we put stuff we want to get done quickly, I think,
America's
is Indianapolis.
McDonald's playland. It's all just little tunnels.
Yeah, it's very tunnely. It's very skywalky. It's an incredible place. If you want to take 70,000 Southerners and put them somewhere where it's 20 degrees and you want them to still be happy, it's Indianapolis because they don't have to go outside at all. At all.
Yeah, you built them a habitat.
It's amazing.
Trail.
It's an arcology is what Indianapolis is. It's a habitat. I think it was Matt Scalise who said like it feels like a city where that was planned on purpose, which coming from someone from Birmingham saying that to someone from Atlanta, it's like, what the fuck is this? These buildings are in places for reasons, right? So yeah,
I mean, Birmingham was designed with a purpose in mind. It just wasn't the same purpose. You want everybody to be able to get down here and out?
Yeah, so like, I mean, whenever they put another event in Indianapolis, everyone will say, oh, there's not glamorous nightlife and whatever. And it's like, okay, if you want that, you're right. But like, man, you're going to be able to leave so fast. So
I like it when people are like,
we put the title game back where it's supposed to be in Scottsdale?
I have fond feelings towards Scottsdale, but it's not exactly like the greatest place to actually watch a game and then go out and do something.
What are your attachments to Scottsdale?
Oh, no, I'm just saying glamorous nightlife.
Yeah, glamorous nightlife. But people drastically overestimate themselves when it comes to, hey,
sports
man, you know, they ain't got any nightlife, you know, because you're going to go out and tear it up. Yeah, you're going to go tear it up at Liv in Miami, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to be up at the club. You're going to be in the VIP.
Takes an hour and 45 minutes to drive anywhere from the Rose Bowl, even if you're staying in Pasadena.
Just Stu Mandel popping bottles in the VIP.
Million Dollar Mandel. He can afford it.
Million Dollar Mandel. Just. Yeah. No, you don't need nightlife. People are like, you need nightlife. No, you don't. You want a bar.
Matt. You are all over 30 and most of you are over 40. You want hotel sleep.
That's what you want to do. You want
blackout curtains that work.
A nice hotel bar, right? So you can get a couple of Bud Lights.
You want room service that stays open past 11.
That's it. And then you want to be able to get in and out of there. That's what 85 to 90% of y'all want when it comes to nightlife.
Yeah. Be honest. It's okay. There's no shame in saying I enjoyed my time in this city because everything got done, and you know what I mean, like. It's okay to count that. You know, you don't have to say like, I wasn't able to commit any crimes. It was so boring. Stop fronting, man. Come on. It's okay. You're boring too.
And listen, a good number of the people who were complaining about that. Yeah, we know you're all super eager to cheat on your spouses. We've seen how you rock your videos. Just why are you so loud about it? My God. Just get on Tinder and shut up. Tinder's everywhere.
You're going to Vegas at some point soon, very soon. Anyway, just go to Vegas and get it out of your system.
God, the Masters are coming right up. Augusta strip clubs are here for you. Just calm down.
I need nightlife. We sell cocaine in every major city in America. Every major city has cocaine.
I need nightlife. I need a strip club I haven't been thrown out of yet, and they still have my picture up everywhere in Uber distance. That's
Man,
not
you're telling
problem.
Me the home of Jim Irsay doesn't have nightlife? Come on now.
Seriously.
Jim, you what?
Just,
if you just at
find
Jim
Jim's
Irsay,
plug and you are
just
good.
Find Jim, just find Jim just Irsay.
Just follow the sirens to Jim Irsay's house.
What it's I'm really hearing is just a lack of initiative.
And the sirens really. Aren't law enforcement, by the way. I want to make clear when Jason says that he implies that the way to Jim Irsay's house is actually lined with huge sirens so that you could just follow the noise so that, all the way to party
there.
Town. Yeah.
You follow the searchlights.
The wolf is loose!
Doesn't have nightlife. Come on now.
Listen, that was the home.
You're just scared. You can't hang with Jim Irsay is the problem.
Nobody the can hang the, with Jim Irsay.
The now known as Metta World Peace Ron Artest
I'm not
Indiana
sure
Pacers.
O'Toole
come on.
Could hang with Jim Irsay.
Yeah. You don't think Peyton Manning got down? Yeah, that's right. Peyton Manning out until 8 p.m.
Careful now.
8:30. Getting loose in Indianapolis.
Not in the hips, but
yeah, no. He's very. Oh, I'm a very stiff quarterback. My fluidity is mostly mental, and in the shoulder.
My fluidity is mostly mental. I'm gonna use that.
But it was fine. I mean, Indianapolis was fine. That's what I expect. Like a town to land at is fine.
Yeah, I'd rather have
entirely acceptable.
Yeah, I'd rather have a town that says we are going to give you B+, and then they fucking give you B+ to A-, than a town that says, come on down, we got A+, and it's like, this was a C- at best. I would much rather aim for what you can hit and slightly over-deliver perfection.
The shutdown full cast.
The shutdown full cast. Aim for a D+. Wait, a C-. Mm-hmm. We will get you that degree. C's get degrees.
We are
That's
not here to pretend that we can read.
I do also enjoy people who are like, well, you know, it's Indianapolis. Like, man, you know, to hell with Indiana. To be clear, we at no point did we say that Indiana was Indianapolis. That would be like saying that Atlanta is Georgia. No, Atlanta is of Georgia and sprouts from its forehead. It is definitely not the same thing.
Yeah, we are not defending South Bend. We are not defending
nope.
South Indiana, which, let me tell you, is a...
Super Kentucky.
It's
South
so
is
large.
Not a lie.
It is so large, and it is all Kentucky.
Yeah,
and there are so
There's
many
a lot
meth
of that.
Billboards. So many meth
No offense
billboards.
To Kentucky. As a Tennessee native, I am also technically from Kentucky. So
I will defend Fort Wayne because the city of Fort Wayne popped up in my mentions when I was making jokes about Fort Wayne hating Indianapolis, and they posted an amusing GIF in response. So shouts out to Fort Wayne, your
also,
social media manager.
The city
on
itself?
I don't know if you saw.
Yeah, whole
but
city.
The Fort Wayne Gazette was seated next to the AJC in the press box, so I'm really hoping that words were exchanged over that.
That's right. Fort
what
Wayne.
What was the AJC headline that sparked this feud? What was the exact word?
Oh, the AJC prior to this was like dog fans gird themselves for trip too cold, comma expensive
was,
Indianapolis.
They called it expensive.
It was such a weird ass headline because like the post was just basic SEO SEO bleep blorp weather forecast ticket information put into paragraphs. Like it was nothing.
What
it was
the
most boring
the
thing you could
start?
Possibly
Fuck
read.
Fuck Indianapolis.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And then the headline they put on it was like, the city's expensive. No, the ticket is
no,
expensive.
It's not more than Atlanta.
The city's cheap as shit.
Yeah.
I did.
But yeah. Like,
maybe they're trying
just
to prevent
a deeply
brain
weird
drain.
Headline that everyone, as soon as they saw it, acted like it was a fucking boss up headline or something.
You know what's really sad, though? I feel like this was probably what they were aiming for.
I don't
they were
know.
Probably,
I don't give
they
the
were
AJC
aiming
that
at
level
Bossip
of credit.
And they
AJC claps Hoosier cakes.
They were aiming at Bossip and they hit like Degrassi.
Yeah.
I don't give the AJC that kind of credit at all.
No, that's fair.
Thank you for the AJC smashes cakes to smithereens.
To smithereens.
Indianapolis. I also shouts out to NIL deals being funnier than ever thanks to Stetson Bennett. On his Instagram page, Holly pimping for one various brand of hard seltzer or another.
It was if you follow our buddy D Palm, who is on with Felder sometimes on Hand in the Dirt and other various shows, and popped up in our title game space. He had it on Instagram, and it was a side by side comparison of Stetson at like 1 a.m. going, ah, first of many, holding up a hard seltzer, and then like 3 hours later just looking like hammered shit on Good Morning America. I'm so proud of our boy.
He's had many.
Up at like 6:30.
What's the GMA morning call, like 4 a.m.?
Oh, it's bad. It's real bad. And he was there at like, he had to be there at least like, what, 6 a.m.?
Oh, at the latest, I'm
sure.
At
the latest.
And they send a car for you, but
yeah,
you still got to get your corpse into the car.
He's up on GMA. There was a shot of him on social media taking a bottle of Pappy straight to the head. Just
wait. What?
Yeah.
What do you mean taking a bottle?
Like, no, I mean, he was drinking.
You said taking a bottle
that part
straight
of
to
head.
The head.
The
and
mouth
that's...
part.
Yeah. The mouth part. Yeah. He was.
I'm like, this man was on GMA getting in a bar fight. What a fucking legend.
We may have to upgrade him.
What a god. Yeah. Excuse me, Robin Roberts. I got to fight these bikers. it'd be more representative if Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean came in, beat everyone else, and
there
Stetson Bennett was like, yeah! But he hit four passes, baby. He hit four big passes. Nobody will ever take that away from him.
After the, quote, fingers in the air, fumble, everyone cited that as the moment when his game changed.
We need a rule. This is where we need a ruling on plays where we just do a do-over, because that play was so confusing that I was just like, yeah, you know, just why don't you do that again? Like, I believe in do-overs as a part of football. That should happen.
I mean, that play was confusing to the extent that, like, I think if the play had been, like, 1% less confusing, there would have been fans on the field, right? There would have been refs, like, fleeing into the tunnels. I think Georgia fans were too confused to riot. So maybe it was a good thing that, like, there were two simultaneous strange rulings at once. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
We did get some trash throwing.
A little bit. It was clear throughout the game that there would be trash more and more on the field. And honestly, I am impressed by Georgia fans with how little trash they threw. To be quite honest, that was. Then again, at the title game, that shit probably cost like $12.50. I didn't manage to see the concession prices.
They didn't want it enough.
Are you
not really
impressed?
Not really. I think it was a restraint.
All right.
In retrospect, are you more impressed now by the amount of trash that Tennessee fans threw with less on the line?
With
Thank
nothing
you.
On the
Thank
line.
You.
And not just water bottles. Tennessee fans threw fucking groceries on the field.
Somebody threw their mama's ashes on the field. I'm convinced.
No, that happened at Auburn.
Yeah, it happened at Auburn. That was during the pick six.
They had to like specifically tell people you can't. This happened at Auburn and Georgia, where so many people have tried to put ashes in the bushes that it was actually becoming like a health hazard / cleaning problem.
Yeah,
and they had to be like, stop pouring human ashes onto the plants.
Thank you for painting the picture of the next time I see a wide receiver go flying into those hedges, like, ew,
poof.
You're in the corpse bush. You're in the corpse bush. No, I think eventually somebody, though, the worst thing would not be getting hit with somebody's ashes thrown in an urn from the stands, because that'd be bad, but it's not the worst. The worst would be if the person looked at you afterwards and they're like, that was my uncle. I don't even like him.
Yeah,
you got uncle all over you.
You got dipshit powder all over you now.
Yeah. He was in debt. You're probably in debt now, too. Legally, that's binding. If I hit you with his ashes, you got to pay his credit card bill. He left like $5,500 on that thing.
You just inhaled my dirtbag uncle.
You just did. Tennessee football.
Listen.
You just inhaled my dirtbag uncle.
Listen. Listen.
Y'all would do it, too. Y'all
know,
would do it.
I know we would. Yeah, would. Let's stick to the subjunctive there. Would.
It's funnier, though, if it's a Big Ten team. Hey, pal!
They wanted to keep him out here where it's cold.
That's my jerkwad uncle. Just hit you with him.
Yeah, do they cremate in the Big Ten? They just leave him out in the snow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, no, they've got to cremate. That's a very Viking thing, right? So I'm just thinking, like, Minnesota.
Well, that's when you float him out on the darn lake the one day a year when it's not frozen. You set him out there.
But, you know, maybe it just goes over to, like, your friend's house, and they're like, oh, geez, you put Carl here.
There's Carl's horses at the lake.
I put my darn uncle, we put him in the back of the trunk, and we rolled it out on the ice, and when the ice melts, he'll go down into his favorite fishing hole, and that's where he'll be. And it'll freeze back over by the next Morning.
That's a great idea.
You don't want to catch a Carl, though. You know, that's the problem. Got a Carl. Got to put him down.
Oh, jeez. Not
gonna fit through the hole.
Put him back. Geez. You know, that's how you get ghosts.
Jeez. I know. You miss me, Carl, but going to have to put you back down there.
Stay down there, pal.
Pal, buddy.
Hey, toughen up a little bit, huh? Trying to leave the cold water. You only been down there 20 years.
You're scaring the bitches, Carl.
Hey, speaking of waiting for a payoff. I said, hey, speaking of waiting for a payoff.
Do you know what would help you?
Do I feel an ad transition coming on?
No.
Speaking of payoffs, speaking of waiting for those pig payoffs, and speaking of matriculating the field down the ball. I did that. I said that.
Oh, God.
Just like
How
Stetson
are
Bennett
you worse
did.
Then, okay. Sorry.
Acorns.com. Acorns.com. The tool to help you, yes, you, the average person, save money and invest like a big investor. Jason, help these people. How can we get them on it?
Acorns.com/fullcast. You might wonder, dear listener, why we reiterate these instructions each and every single week so meticulously and
y'all
specifically.
Ain't too bright.
It's because we get asked, where do I put the promo code in? Acorns.com/fullcast.
There ain't no promo
Insert
code.
Insert that
we
into
love
your
you.
Web browser. Yeah, the promo code is part of the URL. URLs, I have learned, is how NFTs work. You are not buying actually anything. You're buying a thing that a URL points at. How exciting is that? A better use of your money, in my humble opinion, would be going to acorns.com/fullcast and uploading some of your money into the investment machine that you can actually understand. How about that? It's not pictures of monkeys that anyone can steal from you. It's lines that go up. And that's so much easier to understand than NFTs.
When you put it like
acorns.com/fullcast, where you'll get a $5 starter boost to your retirement. Another thing that I've always found pretty easy to understand is shirts.
Yeah. Can you elaborate?
Well, I'm typically wearing one, I would say, a good, at least when people are looking at me, a good 99.something% of the time wearing a shirt. And I would gather that's fairly typical for most of our listeners. And I would say one place that I would go in the event that any of our listeners are in need of more shirts would be homefieldapparel.com, where they have, I don't even know how many shirts they have for sale. It's got to be at least 5 or 6 different kinds, maybe way more, potentially hundreds.
We should count.
Kinds of shirts.
We should count them.
Yes. Probably should. With the promo code
FULLCAST.
But we can't because
they're adding new clothes all the time.
That's true. By the time
Too
you hear this.
Too fast for us to count.
We count it SEC speeds and thereabout. So, no, not going to get it done. With the promo code FULLCAST, you'll receive 20% off your first order. And once again, yes, folks, we have to say this every week because there are still people among this listenership who have never placed an order at homefieldapparel.com. Believe it or not.
We forgive you. Still,
that's all we do. All we want to do is, like, literally this podcast, food, clothing, shelter. We give you clothing, right? Tell you how to get all the clothing you need from Home Field, right? Who, remember, yes, you can even get bottoms sometimes.
What? Oh, okay.
Yes, at Home Field.
All right.
Bottom pants. Yeah, right. Pants. About.
Okay.
Yes.
You said Indianapolis doesn't have nightlife.
We're back to Indianapolis again.
Who's your buddy now? In addition to that, shelter that we're going to provide by helping you invest to get the things you need for your home via acorns.com, full service production and food, because we're just dropping nuggets of wisdom. Pick them up, eat them with delicious honey mustard sauce.
Eat them. I just realized the listenership. You know, the people who listen to this have never ordered anything from Home Field. You know who those probably are? Probably Ohio State fans.
Oh, that makes sense.
So,
do you whenever really you guys want to be actually, like those people, listener?
If you've never purchased anything from Home Field, people are going to think you're an Ohio State fan. Ugh.
Oof.
So
nobody wants that.
Nobody should have to go through life being thought of as an Ohio State fan.
What is the thing that you say when you're trying to stop your children from doing something that will ensure they never have friends ever?
Stop everything you're doing. Nobody likes that.
Nobody likes that.
Nobody's ever liked
nobody
that.
Nobody likes that.
Yeah. No one has Ohio ever State enjoyed football. That.
Nobody likes yeah. that.
Nobody likes nobody that. Likes Nobody's that. Ever enjoyed that.
Don't be like that. It's bad for you.
Yeah. I said, yeah. Ohio State's really good. Yeah, what's the point? What's the point? That's always the start. That's always the starting point. Yeah, I don't know. They're pretty good. They'll probably win that game. So, So that's never been enough for us.
Go blue.
Yeah, that's right.
It's about because it's about more than the game.
Yeah, that's correct. It's about more than
it's about getting out of post game lockup in time for family court.
It's about it's about Midwestern values.
I said family values.
I really don't know what to make, by the way, of the claims that I have seen via Georgia fans that you're all going to have to make new jokes now. No, we won't.
No, we don't.
No,
y'all are
we
the
won't.
Same.
It's well, exactly the same.
We lose the rights to the number one joke. That one is now off the table, and that's okay, because there are so many other ways to make fun of Georgia fans, man. Come on.
Well, there's a variation, too. There's a variation of that very thing, which is that I'm just happy that I have now been alive for a Georgia football championship, and I'm almost 40.
Yeah.
I hadn't
yeah.
seen one before.
This is what it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now the
finally Jason and I have caught up to Spencer, who is the only one of us who was alive the last time this happened.
That's true.
I'm trying to run back through titles. Let's see. So now let's go. Shit. I think Pitt is next on the list.
Well, Florida's up there.
It's time. It's time. Tennessee's up there.
No, we're not.
Yeah. You got to.
No, we're not.
It's time. It's time to run it back.
No, I'm just saying that implies that Tennessee could win a title again in the future, and I would like to exclude us from that joke.
Holy crap.
So, let's see here. I mean, Pitt no title since 1976, but that's not that funny. BYU, Penn State, none since 86, but Notre Dame. It's Notre Dame now, none since 88.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah.
It's Notre Dame.
Because we had
all things
yeah,
come back
yeah,
and make
yeah.
fun of Notre Dame.
We need a bulwark against Notre Dame being kind of likable now because of their new coach, and this will provide just the backstop.
That's pretty good. That's we made it one game into the be nice to Notre Dame era before Georgia ruined it.
We have turned back on Notre Dame again, and it's Georgia's fault. I accept.
But we still got like I'm sorry, the pantry. Like I know that the supply chain's fucked up, but the pantry of Georgia jokes amply full.
Oh yeah, this is okay.
We'll get some new ones.
I said this on Twitter the other day, and I would like to unpack this. So I framed this before in terms of the Tennessee Georgia rivalry being very boring, and not having a name or not having a traveling trophy. It ought to be played by water rights, as we all know, but it's not, and I don't think this is Tennessee's fault because we have an excess of personality at Tennessee. None of it's good. And Georgia's just so, they're just pleat fronted khakis and that same fucking haircut. There's nothing to pick out about them. They are Panera Bread, the football team. And I'm really interested on a clinical level to see what happens now on almost an academic level, because what kinds of derangement might spring forth from now having a title to boast about? Like, are they immediately going to ratchet up expectations to an unmanageable fervor? Are they just going to, I mean, do you guys remember after Clemson made their first run and we were all kind of joking like, haha, can you imagine a future where we can't stand Clemson fans because they're too good? We said that. And they got there in land speed record time to being an absolutely unbearable group of people. But will Georgia go that way? Will they recognize that they don't want to become completely the Alabama simulacrum that they've been trying to build, and will they have the sense to rest on their laurels? You know, will the Masters coming up kind of sate them kind of sate their urge for supremacy for a minute, or you know, they could grow in so many different directions, mm-hmm. and I'm excited for whichever one of those directions happens, because no matter what happens, our wish came true. We got something different out of the title game, and anything that happens to this fan base now will make them more interesting than they are at the moment, because we are starting at zero.
Hey,
at the moment, nobody cares about your Kia dealership. We are starting at zero.
I mean, just again, I'm just happy to see a bunch of liberals get to enjoy a college football championship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, also, you prodded a new joke in there. Didn't think about this, but really, I'm very happy for Georgia. I'm glad to see them finally do this. I'm now looking forward to see if they can get on Clemson's level.
Oh, right? you noticed that, did you?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's good to see if we can.
Yeah, I was just kind of floating that out there. See if it
get up to Clemson's level.
See if it sinks or see if it's a witch.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
My new one that I road tested this on the live.
Don't forget, Georgia fans, you did ask for this. You said you guys have to get new Georgia jokes. And look at that, I mixed y'all up again.
Yeah.
Little old Clemson. You said you guys have to get new Clemson jokes, and we are acquiescing to your will.
We'll keep road testing this one, but I want to say congratulations to Georgia for completing one reconstruction. One. That's good. See if we can do another. Keep this thing going. So that's good. We'll work on others. We got all the old ones, and we got the new ones, right? We can always put your asses drunk at a Top Golf, because that's just documentary work. That's just Tuesday, y'all.
Also, we're just jealous because we love being drunk at Top Golf of a Tuesday.
It is great.
It's wonderful.
It is phenomenal.
They have Wi-Fi. Did you know?
Yeah, you don't even have to do the golf part. You
no,
can just be
great.
Drunk at a Top Golf. It's like being outside but lazier.
George is like, I'm listening.
I'm listening. George is weird for the outdoors, because the top 20% of the state are the hardest outdoor people you will ever see.
Mm-hmm.
People who win survival competitions and survival shows, a good number of them come from like North Georgia or the Tag area, right? The Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia area, that triangle, because it's harsh country. Everybody's outside all the time. And if you're outside all the time there, you're either hunting, constantly climbing hills, maybe running from the police. Maybe you're just high on something and running around. That's all possible, right? They're tough ass people, and they're actually what you would qualify as like outdoorsmen with the capital O. Everyone else is basically in that Alabama outdoorsman, right? Tag area and Northern Alabama excepted. Your idea of being outdoors is in a chair outdoors.
Or the Cracker Barrel porch.
Right. You don't go to REI for anything that helps you move, right? Not like, I'm going to need to go get some boots or a kayak or a bike. They're like, I need another chair. I need a nicer camp chair or something to help me make food so that I stand up, cook, then I sit back down. That's the other 80% of the state when it comes to being outdoors. Which, that's fine. Respect, if that's your thing.
Hey, do you want to talk about something else that's outdoors that looks like it kind of doesn't want to be there?
I think I know where you're going. Yes. To the Pac-12.
let's talk about the Pac-12 because we haven't been there in a minute. Also, Joe Montana and Giants outfielder Hunter Pence both figure into this story. So that's kind of like sports.
Oh, yes.
I subscribe to an extremely frivolous magazine called Architectural Digest, which is not actually about architecture. It's like, look at the couch that Kirsten Dunst has now. Here's her dog. I wish it was more about architecture, but every once in a while it will actually talk about architecture being digested as in eaten up by the earth, and I live for that shit. I'm going to read you all a headline. This is from January 10th, 2022. San Francisco's luxurious new skyscraper is tilting 26 inches. Here is the subhead. The 640, this is a weird way to measure a building, the 645-foot-tall Millennium Tower will continue tilting at a rate of 3 inches per year and has already sunk between 17 and 18 inches into the ground. I am now going to go through the article, and you guys stop me when you get to something weird. San Francisco's Millennium Tower, one of the glitziest residential buildings in the city, is now tilting more than 2 feet north and west and continues to tilt at a rate of 3 inches a year because it's sinking into the ground. Okay. If the problem isn't fixed, the building could eventually tilt 40 inches, the maximum it needs to function and most probably for the elevators and plumbing to work.
Most probably?
I don't know which part of this sentence I like best. The idea that it would get to 40 inches of tilt and stop, or the probably attached to the four elevators and plumbing to work. This is the tallest residential building in San Francisco. Joe Montana and a Giants player lived there. Here we go. And listening to them try and frame this without cussing is amazing. In a contradiction that defies improbability, data shows that around 10 inches of the overall 26-inch tilt happened last year following work to stop the sinking.
Should have left it alone. Just let the building tilt. Let the building
now,
tilt.
Let it lean.
This next part required an investigative report, which I think that maybe I don't want to throw mud at our investigative journalism brothers and sisters, but I question whether it took a report to determine this. In an investigative report, NBC Bay Area revealed that drilling logs show a gap of 1 to 4 days between drilling and grout installation. So they drilled it and just left it, and then they didn't caulk it up for 1 to 4 days. Mm-hmm. Here comes the best part. All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
The fix engineer, first of all, that's a job title, Ron Hamburger, has admitted that his team didn't guide the contractor they hired, Shimmick Construction, on how to stop the tower from sinking and tilting as they drilled and dug into the ground. He told city supervisors the procedures for installing piles were basically the contractor's prerogative. We did not tell them how to install piles. Spencer, you're from Florida. Are piles important?
They're really important,
what
Ollie.
Are piles in an architectural sense?
Yeah, the piles themselves are going to be the things that help stabilize the building in the ground itself. Particularly important in a place like Florida, anybody with a high water table, because you need to find ways to make that building more stable or as stable than the ground itself.
Hey, speaking of ground that's stable or unstable, what's not mentioned in this article?
Earthquakes!
Huh.
Earthquakes!
Huh.
Yeah!
Why would they be mentioned in a story about California?
They're not.
I mean,
there's
yeah,
no mention
they,
of earthquake this in this story. That's a great question.
Do they
question.
Happen in California?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I have to read the last part of Ron Hamburger's public statement. Although the building remains safe, we believe the project needs to resume construction and complete this construction quickly, says the guy who had a 4-day gap. anyway, there's absolutely nothing about this that's connected to football apart from Joe Montana once living here. I just wanted to say that full cast readers are everywhere and sometimes they have real jobs.
Can I
and I'm pretty sure Ron Hamburger was a commenter.
Can I read from the Wall Street Journal? I know I do this from time to time as an investor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
this article's from September 19th, 2001. Ronald Hamburger turned on his television on the day of the attack, just in time to watch the collapse of the Second World Trade Center tower. Mr. Hamburger is one of four top forensic engineers commissioned to perform a postmortem on the World Trade Center's collapse. One in the same, Ron Hamburger, was one of the people who was tasked with explaining why the World Trade Center towers fell.
Ron Hamburger undid 9/11.
You have the right mindset because on a conspiracy Wikipedia entitled wikispooks.com, Ronald Hamburger has a page. It reads, Ronald Hamburger was a principal author of FEMA's initial report on the collapse of the Twin Towers, later a key participant in the NIST report on why the WTC buildings collapsed. I just tried to make that sound as sinister as possible. It says
that was a really
on
good sneer.
This conspiracy website, it says Ronald Hamburger and his tags are engineer and deep state functionary with a question mark.
Where was Ronald Hamburger on 9/11?
By the way, Ronald Hamburger, that's a 9-to-5 man. He ain't worrying about shit once he clocks out. Not a damn thing.
Was it a weekend? Is that what did it?
They was it
dug
a 4-day
the shit
weekend?
On Friday. The shit was dug Friday at like 1:30 p.m. And he's like, all right, y'all be good. I'll check on Mr. Herb Hamburger out. I'm checking on this one Monday morning.
I didn't know emergency contractors did summer Fridays, but I love it.
We're going to leave. I mean, kudos to you for separating work and your personal life, Mr. Hamburger. We drilled these huge fucking holes next to the leaning building that might fall over. And he's like, ka-chink. I'm sorry. Did you send an email at 501? Later.
Whoopsie doo. Phone off. I'm out. So then Monday morning around 10:45 a.m., deep state functionary Mr. Hamburger shows up and what the fuck? No one put rocks in the holes we dug Friday at noon.
This actually could be a Yellowstone plot line because at one point, Kevin Costner and his grandson are camping out in a field and people keep calling him. So he makes the ranch hands like undo all of their camp and set the tents and everything again, set them all up again, like 20 yards up the hill. And he gets up the hill and he looks at his phone. And he's like, no signal. And his grandson asks, is this a better camp, Grandpa? And he looks at his phone and it's like service not available. And he said, yes, it is.
Listen, Ron Hamburger.
Ron Hamburger, you need to lay off the Yellowstone, man.
Ron Hamburger, OBGYN, the kid's halfway out in like 5 o'clock hits, and he's like, yo,
bye.
Bye. It's time for after work, Ron.
Sure it is.
After
just
work,
catch.
Ron's here.
I'm Ron Hamburger, and I don't have time for your pastrami.
My God, that's beautiful. Have they tried asking the building to
have they tried asking
straight?
What the building wants?
Yeah.
Why don't you sit up straight, building?
Don't slouch.
Stop slouching.
I'm gonna think you are somewhere.
Millennial ass building with your flat bill cap.
I just butchered a line I was trying to pull from my grandmother, which is, how are you gonna act when you get somewhere?
So the Ron Hamburger origin story, according to ENR.com, 30 years ago in Seattle, at the end of a talk to fellow structural engineers about lessons learned from recent earthquakes, Ronald O. Hamburger showed a fair photograph of a largely intact San Francisco after 1989's magnitude 6.9 quake. He followed with a photo of the utter devastation caused by 1988's magnitude quake in Armenia. Blah, blah, blah. There were collapses, and the effects of modern construction and codes is evident from comparison of these two events, Hamburger recalls telling the audience in 1990. Then came the Hamburger bombshell. That's what it says. My belief is that Seattle. So basically, he was basically telling Seattle they weren't ready, but it's described here as the Hamburger bombshell. And then He figured out 9/11, and now he is, man, this is a long life of fixing Seattle and solving 9/11 and shit. Let the man take a weekend, I think. It's been 30 something years since the Hamburger bombshell. Let the man rest.
Evidently, he's gonna take him.
Ronnie out.
You know what? There's Ron Hamburger, the serious building man, and then I want you to meet somebody new. That's Weekend Ron. Meet Weekend Ron. It's like Florida Stanley. Weekend Ron. We're going to meet Weekend Ron. Everybody's going to be real happy. And then on Monday at 9, clocked back the fuck in to go look at these giant holes that they didn't fill next to this building that won't sit up straight. There was another thing that Holly wanted to discuss that I think is important for our listenership. And that is, I think, somewhat related to acorns.com. Mind you, I don't think you'd have to worry about this option if you were using Acorns. Your money would be right. You'd be set. You'd be ready for investments, important investments like ham. Ham is an important investment. You're familiar on this program with our concept of night ham. It's core to our values and everything that we believe in. That is ham that should be eaten at night as a booster rocket to the orbital monster of your day. From Bill Oakley on Twitter, shared screenshot. Why eat everyday supermarket food when you can finance a ham from Montgomery Ward. And
thank you to the number of people who tagged us in this tweet.
A lot
of
people.
We had not intended to bring this up on the show, but when we get double-digit notifications involving layaway ham,
that is correct.
We spring into action.
You can finance a ham. All right, either a spiral sliced ham with the fired in sugar glaze or the masterpiece baked ham. All right, available for anywhere from $65 to, you know, $110, depending on the weight of the ham. But at only $20 a month, you too could finance a ham. It's probably actually a really bad sign for our society.
Oh, wow. I tweeted this right before we started recording. People are really mad at me that I said you can only get unblocked by a $500 charitable donation.
Except for that one guy's $1,000. I told the guy who complained about it that it would be $1,000.
That's cool.
Yeah. Somebody, by the way, has already contributed $500 to do this.
I can name at least two people off the top of my head. I will not shout them out here because I don't want you in their mentions because I'm kind. But... two or three people went for this during the Charity Bowl last year, and they can verify that this is a real thing that I will do.
One other thought on the ham, by the way. This is just basic-ass ham. It's not like jamon. It's not like prosciutto. It's not like some sort of artisanal ham that was cured on the thighs of angels somewhere high in the Pyrenees Mountains. No, this is just ham. It's like pretty standard American-ass ham that you could finance for $10 to $20 a month, depending on your finances.
Can I take us back briefly from hamburger? Because
do we have more Ron Hamburger facts?
We have more hamburger lore. quote again from EML.com. Somehow, in addition to all his professional duties and committee work, Hamburger finds time to be a pilot, a hunter, a fisherman, an equestrian, a pianist, and a karate enthusiast. So those weekends are being put to good work, folks. Ron is out here Ron is out here jumping out of planes to do karate against villains who are harming the wildlife hunting grounds and so forth. This man is not just digging holes and waiting for somebody to fill them. No, he's got other adventures to tackle. In addition to being a deep state functionary, which is not listed here, curiously.
So I'm sitting here talking shit about Ron Hamburger, and there's a less than 0% chance and probability of him skydiving into the window behind me and karate chopping me in the throat for talking shit about him.
Yeah. So
that would be the worst if you had to tell somebody, you're like, man, why can't you talk? You just sitting there texting them or talking through your voice box like, Ron Hamburger chopped me in the throat.
9/11
this
building
is how
guy
I talk
felt
now.
Karate chop me from the sky.
The man behind Seattle warning.
Not that kind of 9/11 building guy. The the good kind of 9/11 building guy.
Yeah, that dude. He totally rode a horse over me. I was just sitting in the street and I heard somebody go, "Hamburger out!" He ran my ass over.
Hamburger's off the clock. Pow!
I got to clock in and learn ancient Chinese calligraphy.
Just because I'm off the clock doesn't mean I won't clock you. Kapow!
Maybe while you're up there, Ron, skydiving, you can look down and see those big-ass holes nobody filled next to the building that's leaning.
drop a damn horse while you're up there, buddy.
Hey, is there supposed to be something in here? No, that's lunch.
No, that's lunch. Yeah, hey.
I wonder
I was
if
concerned.
The plan is eventually to use the sum of his training and to like use a plane to sort of nudge the building back into place, you know?
He's gonna karate chop it back into place.
Yeah, fly past and pow, real good, and just sort of and that'll just creak it back into place a little bit.
That building sassed me, so I gave it the hey-yah! Knocked it back
into
place.
He gave it the old hamburger treatment.
That's the last time he'll joke about Ron Hamburger. Now I kind of want my ass to get kicked by this dude. It'd be a polished, thorough ass kicking. And if it happened, at 5 o'clock, he'd clock right out. He'd be like, "Well, I was gonna kill you, but I got to get to swim class.
Stay put. I'll be back Monday morning. Got to learn how to knit."
Something I thought I would never say on the full cast, but now I'm pleased to do. Shouts out to Ron Hamburger.
Shout out Ron Hamburger.
Ron Hamburger has entered the lexicon. What a treat. What a treat for us all. Went from hamburger to layaway ham.
To layaway ham to not talking about Georgia winning a national title. We did
Georgia win a national title?
To airborne sensei Ron Hamburger.
Ron Hamburger is waiting outside, ready to kick your ass.
Waiting outside up there somewhere.
Outside, he's loose. He's loose.
Ron Hamburger will assess your foundation the old-fashioned way.
Loose hamburger.
I just, yeah, the movie where Ron Hamburger pops up like a scene in Yellowstone, beats your ass, and goes, "I found your foundations unsound," and walks off.
Yeah, there's a pow right in the jaw, and then, "Now you're the one who's leaning."